Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, where do you think we're at now in life, in the world? What's happening? How comfortable are you with the, let's call it, progress that we're making or not? And to help us understand it better is a returning guest on Energy Stew who has remarkable insights. He's a wonderful innate healer and a Ron D'Amico, how would you describe yourself?
The easiest way to explain it is I am an architect for the new human consciousness, but I am also an intuitive healer, innate healer, transformational catalyst, and a spiritual guide within the process of this whole journey.
I love that. And I like to call myself those things too, but not as eloquently as you do.
You're sweet. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me back.
And I'm excited to talk with you because you really, in my realization about you, have a very deep understanding of where we're at and what it all means. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to be talking with you about where we are and how we should all, the listeners, how should we all hold this time? Because most of us are holding it in fear.
Yes.
Of all of these dark forces at work, mm-hmm. Including this virus and all of the power people at play with an election that's due at some point, and you know, all different ways that we feel threatened
of
the future. So what should we do? How should we think?
I feel that one of the things that can significantly shift how we're feeling about what we're going through and what's going on in the world around us is to take a moment and look at everything that's going on in the world and ask ourselves, is this a reflection of who we truly are as the individual? Is what I'm seeing before me, is that who I either know myself to be or I'm finding myself being drawn to be? You know, the world is expressing the absolute, in a lot of ways, the worst of what we carry. And it's like anything. If we carry something that is an inaccuracy to who we are, that is a destabilizing facet to how we can live a life of harmony, balance, joy, happiness, contentment, whatever it is for us that we're innately drawn to, is what we're seeing and what we're living in, is that a reflection of who we are, or is it a reflection of the deep pain that we carry? We as a species, we cannot carry these instabilities for very long. And because of our innate nature to find our way to who we are, everything that is going on is a progression of, I'm going to say, an infection coming to a really large head. Because if the body carries a bacteria that's not supposed to be in it, it will do its best to expel it. If it can't break it down and destroy it, it will find a way of pushing it to the surface, or it'll find a way of pushing the causal issue to the surface so it can be eliminated. And what we're seeing right now is the very dynamic of what has destabilized our culture showing itself. And that factor is that we have allowed misunderstandings, misrepresentations, and downright lies to become the foundation of how we see the world.
Well, more than that, it's being censored, so that's all we get to see.
Well, it is, at certain levels, it is being censored. I mean, we've been playing favoritism based on sensationalism for as long as I've been alive. You know, that's what we have a tendency to do, because we people, unfortunately, like watching accidents. because it creates a stimulation or a movement in our system that brings us, believe it or not, to bring our system to feel alive. Even if we're looking at something horrible, it creates a stimulation in the system. Even if it's an adrenaline rush from terror, you know, it brings us to feel more awakened than the dampened state that we actually live in.
Well, we are awakened now. We're awakened to all of these severe limitations and the stress of, let's call it separation from each other. Even though we have Zoom and we can communicate a lot, we can't commune the way we normally do. And we need to be in groups, in learning from each other personally, in body. And especially, I think, for instance, the children are losing so much growth by not interacting with each other.
Agreed. But part of the problem that we're running into is, yes, the dynamic of interconnection is essential. It's the nature of who we are. It's like every cell in our body relates with the other cells. They rely on and respond to each other in order to operate at the highest level of efficiency. But also,
and love, let's call it too.
Well, yeah, we can call it love. I mean, it's a vibrational or foundational frequency of the very essence of what allows us to take shape and form. But within the dynamic, if we don't know who we are, or we can't find a way of aligning to who we are, what we bring into a group dynamic is going to be the very essence of what we hold and put the most attention on within ourselves. So within those group dynamics, it's phenomenal to be in a group dynamic, but are we going to be in a group dynamic that is centered around the pain body? Or are we going to step into a group dynamic that is centered around the awakening and the opening of an environment that helps us remember our innate capacities, our innate joy, love, peace, kindness, you know, and the generosity that we have of our spirit essence?
No, I'm relating to this in relationship to my granddaughter, mm-hmm. who for more than 2 months, we couldn't be near. We had one experience where we had to wear masks and be socially distanced from her, and she broke down in tears because she couldn't be close to us. So finally, we overcame that as a family and got together without masks, trusting that we were all safe to be with. And there was such a difference in her experience of our love and her way of expressing her love in person that is so rich and so beautiful to see that lost itself in, from FaceTime and Zoom and all of that. We could talk all day long and about love. It didn't mean the same thing.
But that's the unfortunate part of where we've lost some of the depth and breadth of what we are. We're not just physical. So as a result of it, we rely very heavily on the physical as the beginning and the end. But the reality of it is we need to, and part of how we overcome the dynamics that we're struggling with right now, is to allow ourselves to recognize at the deepest level that our spirit, that non-physical beingness, is what creates these physical forms. And if we can begin to tap more actively into that, if we can really feel and honor that is our very essence, the nature of our being, then when we bring that into the physicality, if there is a distance or a buffering, we can work with that a little bit more gracefully, because then we can just open our spirit up and we can feel that connectivity, even though the tactile may not be able to be there at the beginning.
There's also a spontaneity in person that's very different than the cerebral nature of communicating virtually.
Yeah, because unfortunately, we have in society learned how to hide behind technology.
Yeah, so we're learning that technology can't do everything.
Exactly. But it also has become an incredibly effective tool of avoidance.
Well, and also a way to connect cerebrally that is powerful.
And unfortunately, the cerebral by itself ends up becoming a lethal weapon.
Yeah, it can be, sure.
It can be a very detrimental dynamic, because if we do not feel who we are as, and that feeling essence of our spirit is not guiding our intellect and our cerebral, you know, the cerebral dynamics that we play with, if that is not the foundation through which we launch that thought process, then what we're doing has a void of connectivity. So anything that we bring forth is hollow. That's why we need that connectivity at that point at a physical level, because we forget it. But then what also happens is we get really comfortable with that physical buffer. And then as we open the doors to begin to try to open that up and reattune to it, it becomes difficult for people because they've gotten comfortable with that buffer.
Well, for some people, and it's, you know, but people really need to hug each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's part of why we're here. You know, it is about having, it's a spirit having a human experience. But that human experience is not separate from the essence of our spirit. They have to be one cohesive expression. And that's what all of this is bringing about, is the recognition that, one, with this social distancing and what we're going through at this point, this is a reminder that we are far more than just our bodies, but also it provides an opportunity for us to have a much richer appreciation for this physical experience.
Yeah.
Then we can see it more as precious and joyful and part of the context of what we're meant to be.
Right, we're gaining a lot of perspective.
Absolutely, because it's giving us an opportunity to shake that tree, get rid of the dead fruit, and really look and see what's viable with what we're looking at here.
Yes, the idea is really to, you know, create music together.
Very much so.
Symphony of life together, yeah. And if we don't have other sounds around us physically, because even our bodies actually have a sound.
Absolutely.
And we're missing that.
Well, and then one of the things that also we miss, and it's like you had said earlier, you talk about the cerebral aspect. If we engage our communication through our intellect, it misses the vibratory capacity of the spirit intent to create and generate communication context.
All right, it froze up.
Yep.
The last 20 seconds or so.
Okay, so where did I lose you?
I don't know. It's the ability to.
Oh, if when we're engaging, because we engage very much from the cerebral context of things, if we don't allow ourselves to tap into our spirit essence and then bring that to create the thought process and then whatever words we're about to generate, it ends up becoming a hollow expression, because cerebral is missing the context of the essence of spirit and its rich and infinite intent. But if we tap into that spirit and allow that to generate what we bring forth, it is far richer and we receive more from it, and then we can also give more from it.
You know, what you just helped me realize is that, let's just say that we're in a program on the internet, a Zoom program, let's say, with a lot of people, and we're doing some deep spiritual work, and the group is, you know, we're all being led to be in our spirit. It has nothing to do with the screen and anybody else, because we're in our own space that we have to recognize is what really counts, not what's streaming through. But
exactly.
What we're experiencing. So
exactly.
It's a personal experience that we need to always treasure above anything else, because that's where our spirit lies rather than on the screen.
Exactly. And then I'll do webinars that don't have video. But what I begin with is helping people create that divine mind, where the spirit of every individual, no matter where you are, no matter when you are, you come together and you connect. You create that family dynamic energetically at the spirit level. And when you begin to feel that, that takes the experience where you don't have that visual context. All you hear is one person's voice, which would be mine. But then it amplifies what it is you experience because the spirit connects and then you feel it come into your physiology as you draw it in through your auditory channels. Now, if you don't listen to it with just a headset, let's say you have external speakers, you also pull that vibratory capacity in through your kinesthetic senses. So your physiological structural cells begin to feel it, not just through the auditory channels.
Right. We want to keep remembering to be aware of that.
Exactly. And that's what we forget. So that's why whenever it is that I have a conversation with somebody, I always have everybody. It doesn't matter who it is. It's like, let's take a nice deep breath and let's come together. Let's feel the nature of our connectivity beyond our physiology. And then the physiology begins to feel as if you are in the room. You may not be able to have that physical tactile dynamic, but you open up the channels to feel the richness of it through your body, which then begins to awaken you to a deeper, richer experience.
That's right. But we want to also project ahead to a time in the future when this virus will be history.
Yes.
And we don't know what will cause it to be history, but it will go away.
Yeah.
It's not going to be around the rest of our lives, although some
Absolutely.
Might think so. So we will have a society that learns to trust being with each other again.
Yes. And the way that we go into that phase is right now, learn how to trust yourself. Learn how to align with the truth of what your spirit is. As you begin to feel what that is, and you allow the truth of who you are as spirit to animate how you live, you then become transparent.
This is a great lesson.
Okay.
You know, to bring our awareness of our spirit with us together again. And I think that's what's missing so much, is to have this presence that isn't what we project on the screen, but the presence of being with people that we have forgotten about.
Right.
And now this is reminding us how important that is.
Very much so. And it brings us to remember that transparency and truth are paramount to everything. We hide behind our words. We hide behind our body language. Instead of using our words and our body language to expose who we are and share who we are, we have learned how to create this buffering agent. So we can't even trust our relationship person to person.
But maybe there's a longing in us for that intimacy of transparency.
Absolutely.
We've been missing that. We'll be so glad to recover.
Well, I feel, and what I've been noticing with people is that the degree to which we are being fed misinformation, downright lies and manipulations is painting people to such a degree that internally and even out externally, they're saying, I can't do this anymore. And it's not that they can't hear it. It's not that they can't see it. It's that they can't be living in that as the world that they exist in.
You know, we're being taught that we're just chemical bodies, vulnerable chemical bodies, that's what we have to protect ourselves for and against, is just being a chemical being, not a spiritual being.
Right. And as we allow ourselves to remember that we are spirit or energetic first and physiological secondarily, because that dynamic carries all the encoding necessary for this physiology to be able to create and manifest the matter-based reality that we live in.
In many ways, we're who we think we are, but we're being programmed not to think very smartly.
Exactly. And we're also missing some of the programming. We're only looking, it's like if we have 100,000 channels, we're only shown 12.
Right.
Well, let's play with all the channels. That's overwhelming. Doesn't matter. You got to feel it. You don't have to think about it. Just let yourself immerse in it. One of the things I've been having people do lately is go out in nature. Nature doesn't lie. It is what it is. Go out and get to know the truth of who you are in the presence of a tree, watching insects, birds, other animals that are running around. If you have an animal at home, allow yourself to feel its authenticity. through the awareness of its authenticity, breathe in the observation and how it feels to be in the presence of authentic. And as you feel what the essence of authentic is without looking at it, because we have visual interpretation, but if we were to just begin to feel that authenticity and we were to breathe it in to recognize the truth of how that is within and as us, we start to awaken that. And then if we do it with regularity, we begin to align and live from that space.
Right. And I think because of the rising consciousness,
yes,
we're able to attune to the truth of realities in ourselves and others that will point out what's not authentic in the people that we're around. We
exactly.
don't have patience to work with phoniness.
Exactly. And then as we're watching what we're watching on the news, we look at that and go, and we feel the pain of what it has been to be that, but know that's not who we are anymore, and know that that's not what we want to be anymore. And once we purge the pain of what we've been and how we carry it, then we're free to see and notice the grace within, the beauty within, and how to bring it into the world is the way that we engage everything, whether it's through Zoom communication, phone communication, whatever it may be. We tap into our authentic nature, and then we bring that in as the expression of our life.
Right. And there's an essence of love, of this sense of oneness and whole, let's call it wholeness,
sure,
that we want to hold on to and we want to experience in others, that really has a resonance that we can be aware of.
Well, we can begin to tap into it and kind of tactily, if you will, grasp it, take it into ourselves. But eventually we need to breathe it in and realize that it is us. It's not something we need to hold on to. It's something that we need to allow ourselves to realize this is our innate nature.
It's the ultimate truth.
Absolutely. And then as we begin to feel that, all we want to do is bring it out and share it. All we want to do is let this biology be a resonance to it.
That's great.
And then we hum, and when we're around people and we feel people that are right there, we just gravitate toward them. We're drawn to them.
I love that.
and it's absolutely beautiful to play with.
And we want to, and that's where I believe that's the kind of life that we'll be living in the future.
Yeah.
When we've passed all of this, we'll want everything to be something we can hold in authenticity in a way that we trust.
Absolutely. So as we move forward to that time, one of the things we want to focus on is utilizing our breath as our centering tool. And then also, as you're talking about it, you're projecting into the future. Let's say it's 5, 10, 15 years down the road, whatever it may be. If people were to focus on the feeling that they already know in them that exists of what we can become. Our spirit holds the knowing of our essence. It just does. It recognizes and honors the potentiality of what we have the ability to be.
Which is what we're learning about more and more in this age of rising consciousness.
Yes.
We're understanding, or let's say sensing, the true natures of our spirit, to be able to recognize it and honor it.
Right. And then we're breathing in the onus and the knowing of what we are. And as we focus on that future within our sphere of influence, within our spirit knowing, as we feel where we're going to be, every time we breathe, as we center and literally own who we are right here, right now, and we feel the very nature of what we're in the process of becoming, that works like a GPS locator. And everything we do, everything we expose ourselves to, is going to be an opportunity to release what needs to be cleared so we can move in that direction, but also draw in and awaken and integrate what it is that will also help facilitate that embodied expression of ourselves at that point.
Right. This is a way of enhancing presence.
Very much. Very much.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so much fun talking with you and being inspired by your insights. We all need to, you know, pause in our recognition of self.
Yeah.
And learn from it.
Yeah, very much so. If we would take time to breathe and recenter in that space of what we know we wish to become, even if you don't have a working knowledge of it, but you can feel it. If we were to do that and really become embodied of it before we went from one activity to another, we would literally bring the essence of what we wish to become into every experience we're doing. As we engage, we feel our mind wander. If we breathe back, we come to that center point. We bring that truth of who we're becoming into these activities. We embody it. We experience it. We express it. And then one simple breath brings us home and we engage.
But I think without a prediction of who we're supposed to become, and let that reveal itself.
Well, you don't need to have a conscious memory through our human mind frame or intellect in order to align with that sense of what we know we can become.
Right. It's a freedom.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely.
So we're getting near the end of the show. Tell us a little bit more about where you exist in the world of your teaching and your healing.
When you say where, what do you mean?
Well, you're on the internet. You have a website.
Yep, I've got a website. It's ron-damico.com. I also have a Facebook page of the same name. I have an Instagram account, which is ron_damico. And I can be reached via email at info@ron-damico.com. And you can also give me a call at 860-358-9272.
Oh, thanks. That's very clear. That's great.
Thank you.
And it shouldn't be a problem. I know with me, there are 80, more than 80 Peter Ross around. So
yeah,
it's fine me. I might as well be a John Smith.
I love it. There are more Ron D'Amicos than I realized when we started looking it up one day. I'm like, whoa. Oh, yeah. I was surprised. Okay.
So thank you so much, Ron, for being back on Energy Stew. We can talk with you soon again.
Thank you very much, Peter. I really appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.